meaning what you're good at, what you can get paid for, what changes the world, what the world needs, what's going to change the world, and with what you love. When you combine these circles, you create your reason for being. You create the reason you are here. That is a purpose. And so when you look at it from this frame of mind, you ask yourself, there's a lot of things I could be doing. What's the couple things or the one thing that I can do overall in life that would help me change the world and make me a better person for it and that I would love to do? That's the big picture. That's your vision. That's your ikigai.
You're listening to The Isaac Velez Show, a podcast that inspires high performers to reach new heights and be better than their best. My name is Isaac, and I'm best known for my performance coaching, elevating elite athletes and entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. On this podcast, I sit down and share vulnerable stories on my journey, lessons that I've learned, and I bring on high performers as guests to unlock new insights and share authentic conversations about what winning really looks like. Let's dive into today's episode.
You can do anything, but you can't do everything. Welcome everyone to today's episode on the Isaac Velez Show. I hope you all are doing great. It's a nice Sunday for me, enjoying a nice little cup of tea, recording some episodes today, and I am super excited about today's conversation because I think this one has been one of the most important lessons that I've been analyzing over the last 3 months, I would say. And it's the idea of you can do anything, but you can't do everything. Greg McKeown is the writer and author of a book called Essentialism. Now, essentialism I've talked about many times, and it's an idea of approaching things from a perspective of choosing what matters, only doing what matters. And so he compares this a lot to minimalism because a lot of people view it similarly. Minimalism is about reducing things. But essentialism isn't about reduction, even though that's what it does, but it's about intentionality. Being intentional with the things that you have. For example, you might find it very essential to have 10 different suits if you always wear suits. A minimalist might say you only need 2-3 suits. But an essentialist on the same side, if they don't believe they need suits or they never wear suits, they might only need 1 suit or 2 suits. So there's times that they'll agree with the minimalist, but oftentimes it's not for the sake of reducing things, but for the sake of intentionality and doing what matters to them. And in this book, he talks about these ideas, not just with material items, but with what you do in your life. Essentialism isn't about minimizing relationships, but it's about focusing on the ones that matter most. And, you know, of course, I'm going to be practicing the philosophy of Stoicism, but I look at Stoicism through an essentialist lens, right? What can I apply the Stoic values and virtues and principles to that on the things that matter most? And so, for example, that's relationships with very close friends, with family members, with my partner. That's relationships in business, with masterminds and communities. I don't carry that many people because I find it essential to dedicate more time to the people that I already have in my life. And so I'm very selective if I create a new relationship because I understand the implications of needing to dedicate more time to someone else and that that time isn't pulled away from an abundance, but from the kind of diversification of time allocation that I have. You can do anything, but you can't do everything. If you want something in life, you dedicate time, you dedicate your focus, your attention, you dedicate yourself to growing and to learning and to adapting. You have the ability to do anything you want. And I firmly believe that because I know that if I continue on this path, I can accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. But I can't be the best basketball player or the best football player. I can't go to the Olympics. I can't be a professional dancer or a musician. Can't be a professional actor. Why? Because I don't have the time to do that and be the best at it if I want to be the best at this. There is no way that I can be the best podcaster and then also be the best basketball player and the best musician and the best actor. And all of us know this inherently, that we can't be the best at everything, but yet we still do it. I always want to be the best at what I do, but you can't be the best at everything. Because to be the best at something means to sacrifice everything else. And that's an extreme example, but we have to sacrifice greatness in one area to get even greater in one area. That's why professional athletes don't switch sports. They can still be good because they're athletic at other sports, but they won't be the best. Because what it takes to be the best is every ounce of focus and attention so that you could be the best. And so in practical terms, what does this look like for me? What does this look like for us? What's the one thing that matters to you most? And that's where the framework for the ikigai, the Japanese word for reason of being, for me really comes in. How can you create circles of purpose, of passion, of productivity, of systems that align with what you can do well, in meaning what you're good at, what you can get paid for, what changes the world, what the world needs, what's going to change the world, and with what you love? When you combine these circles, you create your reason for being. You create the reason you are here. That is a purpose. And so when you look at it from this frame of mind, you ask yourself, there's a lot of things I could be doing. What's the couple things or the one thing that I can do overall in life that would help me change the world and make me a better person for it and that I would love to do? That's the big picture. That's your vision. That's your ikigai. Break that down into today. What's one thing I can do today to move the needle forward? What's one thing I can do this week, this month, this year, this decade to move the needle forward? And so that's where we come to the idea of holistic success. It's not just about money, but it's about the four F's of fulfillment. It's about faith, finances, family, and fitness. What are you doing to take care of your physical health, your mental health? What are you doing to take care of your family? What are you doing to take care of your faith? Whether you believe in a universal energy or you believe in a religion, as I believe in Christianity. Faith isn't just about believing in a spiritual power, but believing in, or at least trusting in, fate or karma. Whatever you believe in, there's some force out there. Even if you believe in science, you still fall to the ideas and ideologies of science, that things are not real until they can be proven and tested. So if you're a person of science, be a person of science, but be in tune with that. Be in tune with the scientific process of hypothesis, test, iterate, and repeat. Whatever your faith is, there's a form of being involved, even if you don't believe in a religion. Now, when it comes to finances is a tricky one because a lot of people see that wanting money is a bad thing, and it can be when it consumes you. But the people that want to make a change, they know they need money. Or the people that make changes, they know they need money in order to make that change. Whether that money comes from them or they understand how to fundraise and gather funds. If you want to make impact in the world, you need money to do it. So the whole idea that having money is a bad thing is completely off. It's the intentions and the character behind the person who has the money. That's what makes money bad, or what can make money bad. Money itself is a tool. It's an ability to convey power and authority to move it from one perception to another. Money is transferred. And so the thing about it is, if you have great intentions, if you have philanthropy, if you have those kinds of intentions, you can move things. You can change things for the better because your intentions are good. And you can do this in a way that actually carries weight, because when you have that money, you have the ability to carry impact into the world. And so coming back to this culmination of you can do anything, but you can't do everything. You have to dedicate yourself to the things that matter most. No, what I've learned is that no has to be the default. No has to be what you go to whenever an opportunity presents itself, a new thing presents itself, a new trend. No is the default, because it makes it that much more impactful and that much more able to be dedicated and focused to when you say yes to things. Because when you say yes to those things, you know that you're going to be able to fully dedicate yourself to those things. We've praised this idea of being busy. Oh man, I've been so busy. Busy doing what? What are you busy doing? If you're busy trying to do 5, 6, 7 different things at a time, you're not accomplishing things. We sit there saying we're busy, yet we don't see results. You don't see results not because you're not doing enough, but because you're not doing enough of the things that matter, or you're doing too much and the outputs are too little because you're too diversified. And that's the thing about it. We have to sometimes add more weight and carry more weight to things. And the reason behind this, the title even of this episode, is we have to choose our battles, and we have to choose them wisely, because we can't fight every battle and we can win far less of those battles. So the ones that we choose to take are going to be that much more important. We have to think about it like a general would think about his army. I mean, we talk about books like The Art of War by Sun Tzu. You have 100,000 soldiers at your disposal. You're the general. And you can go out and conquer. It's like a, what's that game called? Is it Rise? Risk? It's a game that you, it's a board game that's about conquering and stuff like this. I think it might be Rise. But anywho, you have armies and stuff like this. Imagine you can conquer any territory in the world, any country. You have 100,000 soldiers and you can conquer any country you want. Now, you have the opportunity to conquer. That doesn't mean you're going to conquer them. If you have 100,000 soldiers and you want, say, I want to take over the EU and America with 100,000 soldiers, when you diversify all those soldiers, it's going to be very difficult for you to take over even one of those EU states. Why? Because there's a pact, because they have an army. And then on the flip side, if you concentrate 100,000 soldiers and challenge the US, how do you think that's going to play out when you challenge the biggest superpower with a small army relatively to the US size? Now, what happens if you take smaller countries and you take over their cities, you use their resources, you grow your army, then you expand your conquest. Now, obviously, war nowadays is much different than it was before because of the laws that we put in place. But if you think about it with your life, there's certain aims that are so big that for you to say, that's my current goal, you're not going to accomplish it. But if you break down the goals into systems and processes and steps along the way, now you have an opportunity getting to the big term goal. Because when you have such a vast, abstract goal, you don't have a method of getting to that goal. That's just the idea. That's the vision. Visions aren't actualized by completing a vision, but by actualizing the goals that you created that encompass the vision. And so it's phases of things. You conquer a small nation, then a mid-sized nation, then a large nation, then several large nations, and then you can go after a superpower. You just don't start by going after a superpower. You don't fire a pea shooter at a tank. You find yourself a Howie, and then you go after the tank. And so we have finite focus. We have finite time. And that means that we have to make sure that we're using it wisely. I always think about the Stoics and these kinds of methods of, we focus on what we can control and we accept that which we can't. I don't control the tax laws. I don't control politics, and I don't control what's happening in the world. I don't control global issues, right? I'm not in charge of climate change. I'm not in charge of the latest abortion laws. I'm not in charge of immigration laws or gun control laws. I could lobby, sure. It's not going to add much of a difference given my influence. But if I dedicate myself to that, I now take away focus from something else I could be doing. And so the question that I have to ask myself is that the best use of my time? Am I being the most effective that I can be with my time right now or not? And when I ask myself that question, I find that when you focus on what you can control, you can create much more movement that then has the capacity to influence the outside world. My ability to speak this message, to be on this podcast, to do coaching, to speak in front of people, to lead masterminds, my ability to do so is only as good as it is because of the internal focus that I have dedicated. And the message would not be as good and would not continue to improve day in and day out if I was unwilling to focus on me. And if I was worried about everything else, this would stagnate because I wasn't improving this. But now, because I am improving this, and now we grow as a community, Now we have the ability to spread the message to more people, meaning my influence grows. So if I want to advocate for some one of these issues, I have the ability to do so the bigger the platform goes because the bigger my influence grows. And that's the thing. That's the thing. If we all improved ourselves and stopped complaining about the world would be a radically better place because of it. But we're not going to do that because so many people fall into the victim mentality. And when you're a victim of circumstances of life, you can never take control of your life. When you fall victim to everything that happens to you, nothing happens for you. And when you don't fall victim, when you say, I take responsibility for my life, I am in the position in my life because of me, then and only then, now things happen for you. Challenges and adversity are opportunities for us to build character and strength. And that is where the magic happens. That's where the growth happens. So you can do anything you want, but you cannot do everything because our focus is limited. And I, for one, know that I have to focus and give my time to what matters most. That's my relationships, that's my business, and that's my health, and that's my faith. All right, the four areas of fulfillment, that's what I give my dedication to. That's what I give my focus to. And I'm not going to apologize to anyone because I don't dedicate enough time and focus to them if they don't fall into those circles. You don't owe anything to anyone. You don't owe them anything. You owe it to yourself to be the best that you can. And you owe it to take care of the people that you've made commitments to that have given things for you and sacrificed things for you to be the best person you can for them. That's what you owe it to. That's what I owe it to. Thank you for your time. I really hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Make sure that we're always thinking about what's the one thing that can move us forward. What's the one thing we can do today to become 1% better? Because 1% better daily compounds to 37 times annually. Veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. That concludes today's episode of The Isaac Velez Show. If you gained any value from today, we'd be grateful if you share the episode and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you were looking to get more involved with us, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. See you in the next episode.